Much of the U.S. is struggling to contain the coronavirus, with more than 43,000 new cases reported yesterday alone. The seven-day average of new cases hit a record high for the 27th straight day, as public health officials in some states warned that the resurgent virus could soon overwhelm their healthcare systems. Let's bring in Tom Frieden, who is former director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Welcome back.
Great to be with you, Jeremy.
So 13 states reported new highs in their seven-day case averages just in the last few days. What do you think is behind these new spikes in COVID-19 cases, especially in the South and the West?
It's no surprise. It's no secret. We opened too early in too many places. And in many places, we opened when cases were increasing. When you lean into a punch, you get hit hard. And if you take one step too far forward too fast with COVID, you're going to have to take two or three steps backwards. This is a big challenge, and it's going to continue for weeks, if not months. We're all in this together, and we're going to have to fight it together.
Well, one of the things that we've noticed is that the states that are seeing these big spikes are states where it is very hot right now. Texas, Arizona, Nevada, South Carolina, places where it might be more difficult for people to spend time outdoors if they're going to get together as opposed to indoors. Do you think that that is contributing?
Well, a couple of months ago, people were saying without any evidence that there was going to be less COVID in the warm weather. And I think we can't really predict what's going to happen. This is a new organism. It hasn't been circulating among people before. But there's no mystery. If people are getting together, not wearing masks, COVID is going to spread, and it will spread increasingly. What we've got to do, really, is get away from this situation where the virus has the upper hand so that we can turn the tide and we can save lives, we can get our kids back to school in the fall, and we can restore our economy. We're going to have to do that, but that's going to require no large indoor gatherings, no open bars, probably no open restaurants in most of these places with widespread transmission, and masks, certainly anytime you're indoors with near others and sometimes when you're out of doors as well, and masks worn correctly. Down below your nose or down at your neck doesn't help.
Well, when you say you should maybe not have restaurants or businesses open in places that are seeing widespread transmission, by the time you have widespread transmission, isn't it too late to make that call? I mean, should places like New York that have dropped the transmission way down, should they feel comfortable at this point opening things back up again, or would that be too soon?
Governor Cuomo made the right call here. He decided not to allow restaurants to open in New York City for indoor service, and that's exactly the right thing. What we've seen from around the country is, first off, some places opened bars. That's a really bad idea. You've got lots of people in an indoor space for many hours, mixing freely and not wearing masks. That's a formula for the spread of COVID, and we've seen many outbreaks related to bars. But what we're seeing in places that closed bars and kept restaurants open were that restaurants functioned kind of similar to a bar. Lots of people came in, spent a long time, didn't wear masks, and mixed. And that's a formula for widespread transmission of the virus. Unfortunately, when it's spreading widely, you really have to increase physical distance quite substantially to cool the virus down. When you have explosive spread in a place like Phoenix, where as many as 1 in 30 people may be infectious today, you're going to have people extremely physical distance. And that's going to have to continue for weeks and weeks. It took 6 to 8 weeks for New York City cases to cool down.
One of the big questions all along, and it doesn't seem like there's an answer to it yet, has had to do with whether you become immune if you've had the virus and recovered from it. Do you have any greater sense about whether that is the case? And if it is not, if you can get the virus and then be reinfected, wouldn't we be hearing about a lot of people getting reinfected with the virus at this point?
This is one of the most important unanswered questions about coronavirus. We don't know whether prior infection protects you, whether it protects you well and for a long time, whether it protects you from getting sick or just infected. What we are learning is that there is a strong response of the body to infection in some cases, not in all cases, but in many cases. We still don't know whether that results in protective immunity, and if so, how long that will last.
On Saturday, President Trump said the U.S. will likely have a therapeutic and or a vaccine solution long before the end of the year. Do you agree with that outlook?
On the one hand, we are learning some ways to treat people better. We're learning how to give oxygen, how to position patients, some medications that appear to make the disease less severe for people who are very, very ill. On the other hand, a vaccine is a very complicated undertaking, and there cannot be any compromising on safety for vaccines. No cutting corners. There's already so much suspicion about vaccines. We need complete transparency at every step of the way. We hope there'll be a vaccine, but getting a vaccine isn't simple. It means figuring out the dose, figuring out if it's safe, if it's effective, who's going to get it first, getting it produced, figuring out who's going to pay for it and distributing it, tracking for adverse reactions. It's a major undertaking and needs to be done very carefully and with full transparency.
So that sounds like probably not by the end of the year.
For a vaccine to have it actually available for a significant number of Americans, very unlikely.
Australia says it is going to restrict travel between its two most populous states as the pandemic worsens there. Do you think that that is something that should be considered in the United States? Let's say the Northeast cuts itself off from the other states while the Northeast seems to be getting better and other areas are getting worse.
It's certainly the case that travel from places with a lot of COVID is a major source of infection in places that have cleared it. And what we will see inevitably and are seeing already around the world and potentially around the U.S. are restrictions on travel from places that don't have it under control by places that do have it under control. It's almost unthinkable that something like that would happen in the United States. But on the other hand, if the differences are so enormous, it's almost unthinkable that that wouldn't happen here.
Well, we are starting to see travel pick up. The TSA reported today that they screened more than 700,000 people over the holiday weekend. That's the first time that that has happened, that number, since the start of the pandemic. Does that worry you, or do you look at that and say, okay, well, that makes sense. We're getting back to normal.
Well, on the one hand, we do want economic activity returning. And if people are traveling among areas with similar levels of spread, that reduces the likelihood that you'll increase the spread. But anytime there's travel from a place with a lot of COVID to a place with not much COVID, you have a high risk of it spreading.
I want to ask you one more thing about something that obviously has been top of mind over the last several weeks. The New York Times sued the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to get more data about the racial disparities in coronavirus infection rates. And the data show that Black and Latino people have been three times more likely than white people to get the virus and nearly twice as likely to die from it. What would you be doing if you were at the CDC right now to address these racial disparities in the pandemic?
We need to do three things. First, reduce exposures. There's far too much exposure in Black, Hispanic, Latino, Latina communities from essential work and from multifamily households or multi-generational households where there can be a lot of spread. Second, we need to address some of the underlying health conditions that are driving the increased vulnerability to infection and severe infection, such as uncontrolled diabetes. And third, we need to improve access to health and social services because there is much less access to health care, and even among people with health insurance, much worse outcomes in African American and Latinx populations.
If you had the ear of President Trump right now, what would you tell him?
We need a national strategy, a national plan. We need accountability at every level of government, federal, state, and county. We need transparency about what we're doing, where the virus is, and we need straight talk about what is going to happen in the coming weeks and months. It's going to be hard, but if we work together, we can get through it together. Coronavirus will continue to spread until we stop it. It's not going to stop on its own.
That is Tom Frieden, former director of the CDC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.